Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show, conservative talk radio covering the issues that concern you here on the BBS Radio Network. As you know, President Trump has been indicted on 34 counts of allegedly falsifying business records to influence the 2016 presidential election. Many analyses of the indictment brought by corrupt George Soros-linked Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg generally are in agreement that the charges are without merit, bogus, even ridiculous. But that doesn't much matter. As former communist-turned-freedom-loving conservative David Horowitz has observed, today's Democratic Party is the Communist Party and does the bidding of the American Communist Party and, more importantly, their masters in the Communist Chinese Party, the CCP. Under communism and other forms of socialism, the ends always justify the means. So a bogus indictment of Trump was to be expected, and there will likely be several more coming from other corrupt communist-serving Democrats in Georgia and elsewhere. A Democrat-dominated jury in Manhattan, New York City, would almost certainly find Trump guilty, regardless of what the law or legal precedent says. If you understand communism, you realize that everything the political left does is based on the lie and the trick, hatred and hypocrisy. They often accuse you of what they are doing. Hence, Trump stole the 2016 election by colluding with Russia, the Russia collusion hoax. And after being officially investigated ad nauseum, not one bit of evidence was turned up to support this lie and trick on the American people. Whereas there is significant evidence that Joe Biden and his handlers stole the 2020 presidential election with the aid of CCP hackers and a cabal of criminal Democrat and Republican operatives here in the USA. It's also evident that Joe Biden works for the CCP, who've lined the pockets of him and his family members to the tune of tens of millions of dollars. And American communists and their allies here among our financial, business, and cultural elites. Supposedly elites among our society. Captured by the CCP. That's a term that has been brought about. Mr. Schweitzer, Peter Schweitzer of the American Accountability Institute has mentioned it. And this is apparently a method of the CCP, elite capture. They figured out how to do it using money, a lot of times money. And as I said, why are so many of them captured? Well, some of it is ideology. These people grew up in college, think that Marxism is great. You know, even though they're rich, they're going to keep their money, but we're going to redistribute everybody else's pretty much. Yeah. The rest of it is, as I said, money from the rigged Chinese economy with its policies of environmental devastation and cooking of their books of state-owned corporations to achieve the longstanding goal of economic growth at any cost, as they put it. As a Chinese communist professor mentioned, the CCP's friends on Wall Street couldn't fix Trump, and therefore Trump had to be gotten rid of. So the trigger was pulled and the coup to remove him from office took place. That's if you are an election denier like I am. People say, I'm an election denier. I say, they're election fraud deniers. As you must know, due to all this, the USA is experiencing a communist revolution. And whether the perpetrators of this revolution are adherents of Marxism, Leninism, Maoism, or other forms of communism doesn't really make much difference. Their overarching goal is to carry out the eventual complete takeover of America, and the rest of the world for that matter, and subjugate us to their masters in communist China. They have succeeded in the most brilliant tactic they've come up with yet to do this by successfully rigging and stealing many of our elections, I say, including the 2020 presidential election, most particularly that one, whereby Trump was removed from office. If you've been listening to past episodes of the show, you know there is a considerable there is considerable evidence that the CCP waged cyber attacks across the USA on our badly vulnerable electronic voting equipment to flip votes, probably millions of them, cast for Donald Trump, that's total, across the country, cast for Donald Trump to the CCP compromised Joe Biden, and also in 2020 and after, from Trump-endorsed candidates for other elected offices to candidates favored by the CCP and the establishment swamp here, also known as the Uniparty and the Deep State. The evidence also strongly suggests, but we can't seem to get a court to listen to us or look at it seriously, not much of it anyway, not much of our judiciary. The evidence strongly suggests that the sickeningly corrupt, communist-supported and communist-serving Joe Biden is essentially a CCP agent, I say anyway, along with others in leadership positions in our intelligence community, the Department of Justice, and elsewhere in the government. After years of leftist infiltration of the government under the Clintons, Obama, and now Biden, our government is substantially under CCP influence, if not outright control. Of course, there are many people fighting against this in our government, but the leadership positions seem to be dominated by these people. And these people have been heartily supported by, as former Trump advisor Steve Bannon has stated, a fifth column of capitalist globalist elitists in Silicon Valley, Wall Street, our business community, among our cultural elites in Hollywood, etc. As I mentioned, many of these people have or have had sweetheart business deals with the CCP. Just look at our mainstream media organizations, for example. And or they are ideologically aligned with the CCP, seeing communist China as a model for a future world government that they stupidly believe will somehow bring about an eventual paradise on Earth, but which in reality will result in, as it does, has everywhere that communists take over, mass murder, slavery, and terror that will inevitably consume many of these adherents of communism. There is no God, you see, but there is the religion of state socialism with its facade of the workers' paradise and all that crap. Isn't it disgusting to watch and listen to old Beijing Biden utter phrases like God bless you and God willing, all the while vigorously promoting godless and religion-hating communism at every turn? This includes promoting hardships on the American people, like forcing them to give up using oil and gas for energy and purchase expensive electric vehicles, which are produced with a great deal of pollution, and which in turn significantly assists the CCP financially. Since they dominate in production of electric vehicles, particularly the lithium ion batteries for these vehicles, and I believe some other components. And the communists in China are laughing at the West, I'm sure, for pushing abolition of the use of fossil fuels, while our elites essentially turn a blind eye to extensive and still growing CCP use of fossil fuels for energy, along with vast and extensive environmental pollution due to little, if any, environmental considerations. But of course, that makes things a lot more profitable in China, doesn't it? Watching in horror these past 2 years as the Marxist-Leninist-Maoist coup and revolution has been carried out, and this revolution has been growing in momentum, the big question on my mind is, will enough Americans awaken in time, if there still is time left, to the grave threats our nation faces and take action to save it? To begin our sound files of commentary on this situation on today's program, here's audio from comments by Trump spokeswoman Liz Harrington about the indictment of President Trump on Steve Bannon's War Room program on Real America's Voice Network, April 4. Play soundbite one, please.
Down outside of 100 Center Street, where President Trump will be arraigned today. Let's go to Liz Harrington, senior communication strategist for President Trump. Liz Harrington, your assessment today, ma'am.
Well, Steve, first I want to piggyback off of what Rebecca and David were saying. Isn't it interesting that for 7 years they've been screaming about Russia, when really behind the scenes, they've been busy turning us into the Soviet Union? And it culminates today with the beginning of a show trial of the most popular president in American history. Don't ever let anyone tell you otherwise. That is who Donald J. Trump is. And to go off what Scott is talking about, Wisconsin, everything that's happening in New York today is about our elections. You know, there's been a clip going around of Rush Limbaugh shortly before he passed away talking about Donald J. Trump. Why are they so scared of him? They're trying to codify it so he can't run again, right? With this second sham of impeachment. That's what was going on at the time. Well, they're afraid of him because they're really afraid of you. They're afraid of the American people. And they do not want to let the American people decide who leads them ever again. And it would be so much easier to just go through the motions and have another fake election with two controlled candidates. That's why they want to get Donald J. Trump out of the way, because they're going to have to come up with 100 million fake votes to drown out 100 million real ones. Because this is what's at stake here. We need all these people that support President Trump or see what's going on in our country and say, enough is enough. Maybe they didn't even support President Trump before, but they see what's happening to our country. Now is the time to speak up, because we won't have a country left. And there's so many more of us than there are of them.
If I understand what Liz Harrington was saying there about, well, let's put it this way. I disagree that the cabal of CCP serving gangsters who've taken control and are running our country today are going to have to come up with 100 million fake votes against Donald Trump to defeat him in the 2024 election. But actually, maybe she was right there. What I mean is, with the help of the Chinese communist operatives and other trackers, possibly, they can flip 100 million votes cast for Donald to Joe Biden or whoever else might be chosen to run for president. You could call those fake votes. So maybe she's right there. But what I'm saying is, they likely wouldn't have to flip that many votes anyway, though, because working in coordination with more massive ballot fraud, like what occurred in the 2020 and 2022 elections, those orchestrating this corruption and the theft of our elections have done so very successfully thus far and are getting better and better at it, since they can do so with impunity. That's our courts have largely refused to look at all this evidence that we've been coming up with of the fraud. And where we've had official investigations, such as in Wisconsin and Arizona, it was traitorous Republicans who put the kibosh on further investigation and possible prosecutions for that evidence of fraud. Where the hell are our true Republicans? Not the rhinos and anos, that's Republicans in name only, and to use Noor bin Laden's term, Americans in name only. Where are these people, our real Republicans in Congress and elsewhere, on the election and vote fraud issue? Can't these people see that they are targeted for eventual defeat in upcoming elections? Why the hell aren't the real Republicans in Congress investigating our nightmarish electoral situation today, with all this hopelessly vulnerable electronic voting equipment being used around the country and the horrific illegalities that have occurred in our recent elections, and taking definitive actions to correct it? To correct it all. What the hell is going on in this country? I keep asking myself that, but I just don't seem to get any answers. I've asked my Congress people about it. I get these stock replies back, but I'm not seeing anything being done about congressional action on our elections. Yet, generally, most of the Trump people acknowledge that these elections have been rigged and stolen and are of that opinion. Here's more audio on the growing threat from the CCP. This time, it's conservative commentator Mark Levin being interviewed by Fox's Sean Hannity, I believe, and which was rebroadcast on an April 11 episode of Bannon's War Room. Please sound by two, please.
Brazil now is with China. That's in our own hemisphere. We used to have something called the Monroe Doctrine. Let me read you a list, Sean. Invasion of foreigners, severe economic troubles, division of the empire, empire stretched too thin, government corruption and political instability, loss of traditional values, weakening of the legions, the military. That is what combined to destroy the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire lasts 1,000 years. We're not even close to 1,000 years. Every one of those 7 or 8 issues is something we are confronting today. and Rome fell in 476 CE of its own weight. We have something going on in this country that we've never had before. We have a Marxist revolution that is destroying us from within while the enemy gathers abroad. And there is an access of powers against us right now. It's China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea. This is no joke. China hasn't built the biggest navy on the face of the earth, military islands in the South China Sea, over 27 bases of different kinds in our hemisphere, a deep water naval base in Somalia, where my great uncle fought on Guadalcanal. You have China with a base on the western coast of Africa facing us, killer satellites, nuclear missiles. You think they're building all that to defeat Taiwan? They're building all that to defeat us. They're not going to be satisfied with Taiwan. They're in battles now with the Philippines and Japan, even Vietnam. Australia's being threatened. Unless you're Helen Keller, you can't see this and hear what's going on here. This is a big damn deal. And let me tell you something that viewers of this audience and others may not want to hear. We need to prepare for war against China. I don't mean go to war. I don't mean initiate a war. But they are preparing for war. We are completely unprepared as a nation psychologically. We are completely unprepared economically and immigration-wise and securing our border. Our military is not prepared in the sense that they're pushing this woke ideology. Our military budgets do not reflect the threats that we are facing in the world around us. I want to say it again so the backbenchers regurgitate it. We must prepare for war against China.
You're going to shortly hear a comment from President Trump saying the real threat to us today is from within. That's true, as these traitors are working with the CCP to destroy us and have been thus far largely unrestricted and unrestrained in their efforts. At least that's how I see it and many others. But it's also just as true that the greatest threat we face from outside our borders today, is the CCP. Not the Chinese people, but the Chinese Communist Party. Remember that it's always been the goal of communism and communists everywhere to take over the world. And that is exactly the intent of the CCP, and they have long stated that. And its leaders have long clearly and openly stated that. As you probably are also aware, the CCP threatens serious consequences if House Speaker Kevin McCarthy met with Taiwanese leader Tsai Ing-wen, which he did just recently in California. In response, China conducted live-fire war drills around Taiwan, which it claims as its own territory and has vowed to take over by force if necessary, despite never having ruled the thriving island nation. It's evident that the CCP is preparing to invade and conquer Taiwan. They know this will be far easier to do while their servant they helped install in the White House remains there, despite his claim that the U.S. will defend Taiwan if it's attacked. Here's commentary on the matter by Alex Jones on his radio and television show, April 10. Play soundbite 3.
China has its act together when it comes to tyranny. They're the model of the social credit score. They've penetrated the Democratic Party, and they control Mitch McConnell, for that matter, through his wife. And so they're the real threat. And that was the real distraction or red herring that we saw in the 4 years of Trump, but it's still been ongoing for 2+ years, and it was happening during the campaign. So we're 7 years of hearing that Trump's a Russian agent and that the Russians are just all powerful and control everything. The Russians have the biggest country in the world. The Russians can't synchronize their stoplights. The Russians are ham-fisted when it comes to manipulating the U.S. They're lightweights. Nothing against the Russians. I'm just saying it's a joke. The communist Chinese don't just control Pelosi and Swalwell and Dianne Feinstein and Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and China Joe, you know, Uncle Joe Biden, Creepy Joe, Hopeless Joe. They own 4 of the 6 major Hollywood production houses. They put out the wokest stuff to tear the nation apart. They're the main group doing it, allied with the Bill Gateses and the Klaus Schwabs of the world on record. Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates say, and Warren Buffett says, and Charlie Munger says, he's like their granddaddy, that China's the model and we need to be like China and arrest our political dissidents and ban free speech. I mean, I played the Charlie Munger clip probably 15 times from a couple of years ago where he's sitting there on national TV, what was it, PBS, with Warren Buffett talking about, we're going to get rid of freedom, we're going to arrest political dissidents. It's a wonderful thing. So China doesn't allow the movies they produce here in the U.S. and around the world to poison the planet to air in their own country. So China's the trillion-pound gorilla, or should I say, dragon on our back. And it's on the Chinese people's backs as well, with all the terrible things they do. And 3 million Uyghurs in slave death camps. I mean, these guys would make Hitler blush. And they are up our butt, as you would say. They are up our rear end on so many levels. And starting the last few years of the Obama administration, the globalists figured out that China was double-crossing them. They were the model of tyranny. They were the testing ground. They were the beta test. But they said, you know what? Kind of like Stalin and Hitler were buddies at first, but then a couple of years into World War II, turned on each other. They turned on the globalists and said, we're going to be in charge. We're going to run everything now. And that's just the way it is. And they said, if any leaders from the United States, be it Biden, be it Mitch McConnell, be it Chuck E. Schumer, be it Kevin McCarthy, if any of them ever meet with the president of Taiwan, we'll see that as an act of war, and we will probably, I've got their quotes here, invade Taiwan. And we'll start with a blockade. So starting about 6 days ago, they encircled with not hundreds, but thousands of ships, hundreds of big ships, and then over 1,000 small ships, thousands of aircraft, small planes, helicopters, jets, and have just been encircling and doing bombing runs. And the government of China has put out official videos, we showed one earlier, showing the simulated bombardment of all the U.S. ships and Taiwanese ships there in the strait there by China, there on the Taiwan Strait. And, of course, just a few miles away is then Japan, saying we're ready to take out your power plants, your capital buildings. And you notice most of those missiles are going to the water. We're ready to take out Western ships. Because where those missiles in that video, in that simulation, are raining down is where the U.S. aircraft carriers and the U.S. missile cruisers and the U.S. destroyers and the U.S. submarines are. So China has just simulated the biggest bombing run ever. And we'll also put this map up if you can. This is their official invasion map that I've got here right now that also sent the crew. So China is saying that their invasion could be imminent. Now, remember 6 months ago, a month ago, I said the next thing is a blockade. And maybe have the archivist find it, just so I'm not claiming that. Archivist, in fact, Rob News here. Rob, call the archivist. Find in the last 6 months where I said in the next year, China is probably currently considering, depending on how Russia does, diverting us off and using up all our munitions, is going to go ahead and do the blockade and the encirclement of Taiwan. Then they'll have their operatives and commandos that are within the country start killing the political leadership ahead of an invasion, hoping that most of the Taiwanese military basically stands down. So I believe, and I know, well, China has said, it's on the table. It is being prepared for the encirclement, the blockade, and the invasion of Taiwan. Now, again, 80% or 79%+ of all of the high-speed processors in the world are made in tiny Taiwan. Imagine how energetic and smart the Chinese would be on the mainland, where there's billions of these people, compared to just Taiwan. They weren't under the communist tyranny. Look at South Korea as one of the most profitable, powerful countries in the world for production, compared to North Korea, who can't even keep their lights on. It's a tale of communism versus some form of freedom. It's not that it's perfect freedom or, you know, even the kind of freedom we would accept as freedom. Taiwan's not totally free, neither South Korea, but it's an example, a tale of two cities, a tale of two peoples, even though they're, in the case of Korea, the same people, but one communist, one quasi-free since the whole Korean conflict. So This is a big deal. And we're already in the two-front war. We're already running low on ammunition with the Russians and that whole war that's about to go into super overdrive. And China sees this as their moment. Iran sees it as their moment. Iran's starting to attack a bunch of targets in the Middle East, into Syria, into Lebanon, into Israel. And there's the headline right there from Drudge. I have it in front of me. This headline, Chinese military rehearses encirclement of Taiwan, BBC. China's military ready to fight after drills near Taiwan, says their military. U.S. Navy challenges Beijing in South China Sea amid Taiwan drills. Warship conducts freedom of navigation operation near the Spratly's. Move comes as U.S. set to hold military drills in the Philippines. So the United States is holding war games. China's holding war games right up against each other and saying invasion, encirclement, blockade could be imminent. That is where the world is today.
As Kevin McCarthy has observed, the CCP's tentacles are everywhere in this country. And this has developed to the point where they believe they can dictate to us what our leaders can and cannot do. And if you've watched, listened to Alex Jones and others on his shows on Infowars.com, you know about the so-called Great Reset being hailed by the World Economic Forum as the savior of our supposedly climatologically and socially threatened planet. The communist globalist scheme, this communist globalist scheme, the Great Reset, touted by the world's business and government elites of the World Economic Forum, involves the takeover by these elites of the world's nations and economies and their subjugation under a CCP-inspired world government and economic system. Here's some rather apocalyptic perspective on this idea by Infowars.com's Greg Reese. As I've stated before, Alex Jones and his group tend to be apocalyptic in their perspectives. At the same time, as popular podcaster Joe Rogan has observed, Alex Jones has been right a lot more than he's been wrong. And I've always found that there's quite a bit of truth in what is being conveyed on Infowars.com. Play soundbite four, please.
The Russian Foreign Ministry is claiming that the U.S. and Russia are now in a hot phase of the war and implores the U.S. to resume some kind of dialogue. But NATO is not interested in peace talks. The U.K. is sending depleted uranium, and the U.S. is continuing its biolabs program in Ukraine. The largest military air exercise in NATO history is scheduled for this summer. They have to call it an exercise, otherwise NATO would have to admit that they are at war with Russia. Starting next month, thousands of NATO troops will create a united front in Europe against Russia. The U.S. has been exposed for destroying the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, and America's facade of a moral high ground is quickly fading. The Pentagon leaks say that Ukraine is losing the war. Both sides have threatened the nuclear option, and the Ukrainians have already attacked a nuclear power plant. We are one desperate action away from a nuclear war with Russia. China is now simulating precision strikes on key targets on Taiwan, and the moment they invade, the U.S. will go to war with China. The Uniparty and the media have been focusing on China for several weeks now, and U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham is already prepared to start sending troops. But the Department of Defense is warning that the U.S. doesn't have enough munitions to fight China. The millions of rounds of ammunition that the U.S. has sent to Ukraine has drained stockpiles, which will take years to replenish, making it an opportune moment for the CCP to invade. Days after Xi Jinping brokers a peace deal between Iran and Saudi Arabia, rocket attacks are launched at Israel from multiple locations. Last week, in response, Israel launched attacks against Lebanon, Gaza, and Syrian military targets. The Jerusalem Post is calling it a multi-front Middle East war against Israel and claim that Iran is behind the attacks. Israel has been calling up battalions of reservists. The Iranians are reportedly preparing to attack Israeli ships sailing through the Persian Gulf and the Arabian Sea. Last week, the U.S. deployed a submarine with a Tomahawk missile payload to support Israel. If Israel goes to war with Iran, the U.S. will be involved. The U.S. is looking at three different theaters of war. They've already depleted their munitions in their losing proxy war with Russia. And they've depleted their military with clot shots and tranny psyops. Meanwhile, the Bank for International Settlements, or BIS, is preparing for a one-world digital currency. The BIS was created in 1930 to centralize the central banks. Project Icebreaker is the BIS plan to control all international transactions between central bank digital currencies, similar to what FedNow is planning to do in America on the national level. The decisions being made by the big banks for the economic reset are hugely unpopular with the awakening masses. But these criminal big banks have three catastrophic wars to launch as smokescreens while they eliminate their opposition and write the history books of tomorrow. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
Here are more comments from Alex Jones, who has for many years now been warning of the threats to our freedom and way of life from what he refers to as the globalists, the communist-aligned world business, government, and societal elites. These comments are from Jones on his show April 13. The soundbite starts out with words from a number of today's thought leaders, including President Trump, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Rand Paul, Elon Musk, and Nigel Farage of Britain. Will you play soundbite 5, please?
The CIA is somehow involved with the assassination of JFK. The nephew of JFK goes public after Tucker Carlson's insider bombshell and says the CIA's murder of my uncle was a successful coup.
I do believe there has been a coup and it's been taken over. And if I want to just put the date in my mind, and anybody could pick probably any date in the last 100 years. But I have picked November 22nd, 1963.
What happened on that day?
That was the day Kennedy was murdered by our government.
Wow.
You know, by the CIA.
One of your fellow journalist said, who's the biggest problem, sir? Is it China? Could it be Russia? Could it be North Korea? No, I said, the biggest problem is from within. It's these sick, radical people from within.
So I think we want to be a little bit cautious about being too much of a world, of a single civilization, because if we are too much of a single civilization, then if the whole thing may collapse.
We have been witnessing a global coup d'etat.
What we're talking about is a control system that's going to be implemented in a global coup d'etat.
There is a globalist coup going on. Some people have laughed at me.
This is a global coup d'etat against liberal democracy across the planet.
Boy, somebody's been hammering that every day for decades, saying if we got to the point of realizing it, when they launched operations, we would be able to defeat them. And yes, it's happening. We have the initiative. We control the future. At the end of the show yesterday, in the fourth hour, and I was handing the baton off to Kate Daly, so I guess the show really continued on another 50 minutes. She did a great job. What a great lady. I started to get to the Elon Musk interchange with the BBC reporter, who finally just cut the interview off and left. We're not going to play the whole thing, but we're going to play about 4 minutes of it, because I could teach a college course on this, dealing with the media and philosophy and how they operate. Because the facade of the corporate, state-run establishment, enemy of the people media, is they just dictate pure lies, pure crap, disinformation, like global warming's man-made and is bad, or carbon dioxide's evil, or two men can have a baby. And then they ridicule you and attack if you don't agree, and they create these false consensus. But he's there talking to this guy, and he says, well, You're putting out COVID disinfo, or you're not putting the COVID alerts out. And he said, yeah, COVID's over. He says, but what about you at the BBC? What about you lying about the vaccine being safe? Woo! Or you lying about masking? And the guy didn't know what to say. He said, hey, I'm interviewing you. You're not interviewing me. But see, that's totally fair in a debate or a discussion when someone accuses you of what they themselves are doing. You hit them back with what they've done. People say, well, are you saying Elon Musk is good? No, I'm not saying Elon Musk is good. I'm not saying Marco Rubio is good. I'm saying, why do they sound like us now? Because they know the worm has turned. Elon Musk came out 3 months ago and he said, listen, I make nice EV cars. And they make the nicest ones. But he went on to say, we need coal and we need fossil fuel and we can't get rid of the cars. There's not enough resources to make enough electric cars basically ever. It's a godsend we have all this oil that God gave us and gas. And he said, we need to have more kids and we need to take care of old people. We need to have a pro-human future, not this globalist future. So he's definitely going against their program at many levels. And you could say, well, that's because he wants to take over their program, or that's, you know, whatever reason it is. Donald Trump sounds like Alex Jones. Elon Musk sounds like Alex Jones. Bolsonaro sounds like Alex Jones. Tucker Carlson sounds like Alex Jones. Joe Rogan, the list goes on and on. Why is that? Well, it's because we've been going off the globalist source documents, and we warned people for so long, they heard us warn them about it, and now that they know we told the truth, now they're all those people. Tune into the show. And that's why the broadcast is so important. That's why your calls are so important. That's why the great guests we have are so important. Because Alex Jones is just a part of this whole operation. This operation belongs to you.
I wish I could agree with Alex Jones that we, those people on the political right, the freedom-loving Trump supporters and so forth, have the initiative and could beat these people. I do not see that right now. They've beaten us pretty badly in two consecutive major elections. And I don't think they have any intent to give up any of their gains. In fact, they're only working overtime to expand upon those gains. And I think they're very confident. They may be concerned about their opposition, but I think they believe they're going to pull this off. We'll see. Alex Jones has been one of those on the political right targeted for utter destruction by the radical left-supporting elites with their weaponization of the courts and governmental apparatuses. Subsequently, Jones has been found liable for billions of dollars in defamation lawsuits paid for by the radical leftist billionaire George Soros, according to Jones. Don't you think these globalist communists and other leftist elites want Jones to disappear? As Peter Schweizer, president of the Government Accountability Institute and author of the books Clinton Cash and Red-Handed, How American Elites Get Rich, Helping China Win, has pointed out, these globalist communist elites actually admire communist China for outlawing any criticism or dissent of the communist Chinese government. And this usually involves harsh prison sentences or even the death penalty. You know what Vladimir Lenin said, quote, why should freedom of speech and freedom of the press be allowed? Why should a government which is doing what it believes is right allow itself to be criticized? It would not allow opposition by lethal weapons. Ideas are much more fatal things than guns, end quote. This is from the monstrous Bolshevik, as I said, and first Soviet dictator, Vladimir Lenin. And it is attributed to something from what's called Nieman Reports, N-I-E-M-A-N Reports, Nieman Reports, with a date of January 1956. And it appears on page 412 of a book titled The Great Quotations by George Seldes, S-E-L-D-E-S, published by Castle Books, 1977. The Epoch Times carried an article April 11 with this headline, Wisconsin conservatives cite election bribery in state Supreme Court defeat. The article starts off, quote, outspent and out-hustled, Wisconsin conservatives suffered a crushing loss this month when a liberal won a seat on the state Supreme Court. This loss flipped the majority of Wisconsin's highest court from conservative to leftist. That's my comment. I'm sorry, it's the first sentence was the quote from the start of the article. Here are remarks by Real America's Voice Network's John Fredericks, host of Outside the Beltway program on that network, on this disaster for the GOP. Once again, we have the Republican National Committee's great leader, Ronna McDaniel, the niece of Rhino Mitt Romney, presiding over another disaster for Republicans. Play sound by six, please.
If you look at what happened in Wisconsin on Tuesday, we got to get our head out of the sand. This is the biggest disaster you can imagine. And nobody even has any idea what the hell happened. We got beat by 10 points in a judgeship by an activist, communist, left-wing judge who outspent the Republican Dan Kelly 14 million to 3 million. Whitewashed him by 10 points. This was a blowout. They went in to Tuesday down, get this. You got to get this. They went in down by 150,000 votes at 7 a.m. when the polls opened on Tuesday. You can't freaking win. This guy was abandoned by everybody. Where was Ronna McDaniel? Nowhere to be found. Where was the RNC? Well, I guess it was a spa day that day. Where was Reince Priebus? Where was Scott Walker? Where was anybody? They abandoned this guy. Now Ronna comes on and she says, oh, the messaging was bad. Well, where the hell were you? You're supposed to help with the messaging. Isn't that your job? When we went to Dana Point and opposed her, I told you this was going to happen. They have no infrastructure. They have no plan. Here's the problem. Here's what the Democrats have done. And they showed you in Wisconsin right up in your grill. They have a system for getting ballots. An early vote system, a mail-in system, a ballots box system. They have a system of getting votes in early, and it is getting better. Each cycle, it gets better. They've got the NGOs. They've got the nonprofits. They have figured this out. We have nothing. Then what happens on game day? That's when our people vote. Well, we're not getting our people out, and we're not getting the majority. Why? Because we're chasing down high propensity voters on game day because we spent 2 years telling people not to vote early. Dumbest thing we ever did. Now we're stuck with it. The Democrats are spending $200 a pop going after low propensity voters on game day because their high propensity voters already voted. So, and they got all this money and we're doing nothing. There's no infrastructure. There's no plan. This is a complete and utter disaster. What this did is it narrowed the path for Trump to 270. It now makes it tougher. That's why they put $14 million in it. Obama was there. Clinton was there. Schumer was there. All the big Democrats were there. No Republicans were there. Nobody. Nothing. Abandoned. Again. Because we just have no plan. This lady, Janet Prostakowicz, who's a communist, campaigned for a judgeship, Steve, like she was running for U.S. Senate. It was all activism. I'm going to let you get abortions on demand. I'm going to let the transgenders in the schools. I'm going to get the parents out. I'm going to change the maps. The other guy, Dan Kelly, nice enough guy. Well, he campaigned the old way. I'm a constitutional conservative. I'm going to follow the Constitution. The Democrats and the communists have taken this thing over, and they understand how to get their base out. We're still trying to vote on game day. The Republican Party of Wisconsin begged on their website. They begged people to vote early. We wouldn't do it. And then we don't get the turnout. We can't figure out why we're getting beat. This person, this was supposed to be a toss-up. They got beat by 10 points. You can't go into Election Day down in a special election by 150,000 votes. That's like my son going into pitch tomorrow, and you spot the other team 10 in the first inning. You can't win.
We had Rachel Maddow on, I think in a clip in the cold open, that talked about the reason they focus on this. This was the one place that it went to the state Supreme Court about all the stealing, all the illegal ballots, and quite frankly, a Republican justice voted against it. We lost 4-3, but the minority opinion lays out exactly how they stole the election. Lays it out. That's what they had to take. That's why they moved heaven and earth. It's just not about abortion. It's not about the voter ID. It's not about the redistricting and all that. Those are all important. Don't get me wrong. And they led with abortion, but they understand. We talk about the narrow path. I just don't see a path. Look, the economy's collapsing. So you know, we're in the third world war starting. So everything's up in the air. But just looking at the cold logic of this, Wisconsin, Georgia, and Arizona, you got to take. You can't count on Michigan. You can't count on Pennsylvania because of that. You can't. You get those three are must-haves. You don't must-have those. You're not back in the White House. Am I incorrect on that, John Fredericks?
No, listen, we got three states we have to win or there's no pathway. And the Democrats knew this and they figured it out. And we did nothing and we have no infrastructure. I mean, this is what people got to wake up and realize, right? And you can go and look, they're stealing elections, no question about it. But in order to compete, you got to have an infrastructure. We don't have one. Nobody's bothered to build one. 2 years later, we don't have what they have. They're getting better. We're getting worse.
I disagree that it was stupid for Republicans to concentrate on voting in person on election day to win elections. This is an activity recommended by election integrity activists to help throw off the computer programs which are said to watch reporting of vote totals and then determine for
their operators how many votes are needed to be electronically switched or ballots made up and stuffed into the vote totals to win for those manipulating these elections. But Fredericks is right in that we need to fight fire with fire. I say for those who usually vote on election day in person and want to do that, by all means do so. And later in the day, if possible, at least at this time, based on what we know and suspect. But also we need to harvest ballots where legal and engage in any of the other techniques the left uses to throw elections. And we need to put some more money into this. But we seem to have this Republican establishment that really doesn't want Trump to win and is willing to throw the country under the bus to the communist Chinese. No doubt in my mind, we have a lot of establishment hacks, traitors, and fifth columnists, to use Steve Bannon's term, in the Republican Party. As I said, they have been the ones who have squashed these further investigations, calls for further investigation and prosecutions in the investigations into election fraud that were held under the auspices of the state legislators in Arizona and Wisconsin. The other states, even though some of them have Republican legislatures, they can't seem to get anything done. So you obviously have some traitors there to the party, but we must weed these people out and get going with strong leadership from the real Republican base if we are going to have any hope of winning future elections. I know Trump makes these statements, when I'm elected, I will do this, I will do that. But Mr. President, not enough is being done. Not much of anything that I could see, anything significant, is being done to correct our horribly compromised and stolen elections. Let's get moving, people. There isn't much time left. Well, that's it for another show. As always, we hope you found the content of interest and value. You can listen to a podcast of today's show when it's posted soon on the Jim Benson Show pages here at bbsradio.com. Look for us again with another live show 2 weeks from today in the same time slot. Have a good rest of your day and evening.